I would like to extend my own welcome to all of you. And it's a wonderful, wonderful event every year. We are here to experience the great treasury of sacred music, especially Gregorian chant, used in its proper place, the sacred liturgy. I'd like to just offer three brief philosophical vignettes and then some practical things for the week. First of all, I'm sure many of you have heard the term hermeneutic of continuity. Thank God for our present pontiff, Pope Benedict XVI. In 2005, he gave an address to the Roman Curia, and he talked about the fact that the council had been, there had been many problems since the council, and he was asking how it had been received and what went wrong. And his suggestion was that perhaps there was a hermeneutic of rupture. Hermeneutic is a lens by which we look at something or a key to interpret it. And he said there were people who believed that the council was a new beginning, a new church was coming into existence. And we've all heard that hymn, Sing a New Church into Being. And my response is I prefer the one Jesus founded. Thank you. Anyway, this rupture has taken place, and it's both on the right and the left. The far right, the St. Ignatius would say, yes, there has been a rupture. There's no longer a Catholic Church. There's no longer a Pope. On the left, they would say, yes, this is a new beginning. We want to leave the old behind. Everything old is bad. We have a new beginning. Let's bring a new Pentecost into the Church. And the Pope is saying we can't interpret it that way. The most recent council of the Church, the Second Vatican Council, is and can only be interpreted in light of all the councils that went before in the tradition. And so that is something that we at the Church Music Association take to be very important. As a matter of fact, if you look at the musical regulations for both the extraordinary form and the ordinary form, and if we were to obey them the way the Church teaches them, you would find very little difference between the two forms when it comes to sacred music. And you'll see that here. When you go to the extraordinary form, you say, okay, that's the way it's done. But people come to the ordinary form, they say, oh, is that allowed? Are you allowed to have a gradual? Can you have an introit? Can you, do all of these various things? Yes, that's what the Church calls for. So this is an immersion where you can see what the Church really wants, and so that you can experience it and then take that seed with you home to begin to prepare for the future. The second thing that I think is important is that we're living in a very hope-filled time. It hasn't always been that way. I remember my first colloquium. I was only a priest for 8 years. Monsignor Schuller, I met him at a conference, God rest his soul, and he said, why don't you come to the colloquium in the springtime down at Christendom College? So I packed the car and I drove down, a little bit apprehensive, never been to anything like this before. And it was very small. I drove into the campus and there was this van. I had to pull next to it. And the van had all these bumper stickers all over it that where end is coming, pray the rosary, help Our Lady of Fatima, help us. So I kind of got out of my car in trepidation, and this lady came around with a hugging a statue of Our Lady of Fatima and said, we are here to prepare for the end. And I said, well, madam, I'm just here to learn some chant. That was the beginning, and I thought, oh, what did I get myself into? But it was a great group. We were struggling to try to keep this tradition alive, very, very sparse. Many places did this. And I tried to think of an image that would describe the mentality of that time. It was almost like, it felt like Sam Houston at the Alamo. We were surrounded and we're waiting for help and nobody's coming to help us. And instead of Santa Anna blowing those big iron cannonballs into the fortress, he was lobbing in explosive guitars, and they were filled with the shrapnel of glory and praise books, and we didn't know where to go. But there's hopeful times. Things are changing, and we have a new way to look at things, which leads me to my third philosophical point. The comment I just made about glory and praise, please don't take offense. A lot of people are coming here for the first time. And there have been some real battles in the last 40 years. I have some scars that I can, share with you of the things I had to go through because of what I wanted to do. And so people will make comments, they'll make little funny, sarcastic quips about things. And if you're here for the first time and you're just trying to experience this, just let you all have a good sense of humor. There's been too much negativity and seriousness, and people get offended so very easily with the slightest little thing. This is a time to enjoy each other's company, to enjoy each other's sense of humor, and to realize that this isn't going to be fixed in a day, but we're here to start that process, and we should enjoy each other's company and joke about it. And that way we can get through it a little more and not take ourselves so seriously. So please keep that in mind as the week goes on. Now, some practical points. We have quite a mixture of celebrations. Like Jeffrey said, on Tuesday, the Mass in English, the priest facing the people at the altar. On Wednesday, we will have a Requiem Mass in the ordinary form, but in Latin, wearing black vestments, ad orientem, facing the altar, so it should be a new experience for many of you. On Thursday, we will celebrate the Thursday day of the Octave of Pentecost in the extraordinary form. Friday is a votive Mass of Our Lady in the ordinary form. And then Saturday is a very rare treat. As a matter of fact, I've never been to one myself. This is the first time. This is the Ember Days, and the old calendar occurred this week. And on the Saturday of the Ember Days of Pentecost, there are seven readings. There are chants in between each one. And it was the day when ordinations took place in ancient Rome of all the different orders going up to priesthood. So this is the very first time I will ever have been at this Mass where everything is done according to the liturgical books and the chants. So it should be a very unique, rare experience. And we're glad that we can do it this week. And of course, we'll end the week with Holy Trinity and, of course, Vespers on Friday. Now, we use a lot of Latin because Latin is the language of the Church. The chants are in Latin. And it's hard at first. Some people don't know what's going on. That's natural. It takes time. So you have to be immersed in it. You have to persevere with it. And as time goes on, it gets easier and easier. So don't give up and don't get discouraged. As a matter of fact, with this week, you're going to feel challenged constantly. And it won't be until after it's over, when you're going home, that all of what you did sinks in and hits you like a ton of bricks. It just overcomes you, and you just can't believe how beautiful it was. The second thing, we will use ad orientem worship, except for the first Mass, where the priest faces the altar. He doesn't have his back to the people. He leads the people toward God at the altar. And believe it or not, there's not one word in the Second Vatican Council, in Sacrosanctum Concilium, or in any document after that, that says the priest must face the people at the altar. It's not in any document of the Church. So therefore, we do that because of the whole idea of the orientation, praying toward the Lord, the priest leading, and also to experience the ordinary form in a way that maybe it has never been experienced before. And I think you'll notice quite a difference in the reverence. Also, the six candles on the altar with the crucifix in the center, the Pope has been doing this as the traditional form of the Roman Rite. He's reestablished it, that whole idea that keep Christ and the crucifix in the center of the altar, and the candles, of course, for the solemnity. So you'll see that again, following the example of our Holy Father. And then one other suggestion, at all the Holy Father's Masses, when he gives out Holy Communion, he gives out communion only with kneeling and receiving on the tongue. Now, the rule of the Church is that you can receive in the hand and you can stand. We here are going to offer the option of kneeling at the altar rail for communion and suggest that perhaps, if you haven't done it for a while, to receive on the tongue. If you don't want to, that's fine. That's your business. You can receive in the hand. If you can't kneel, you can stand there. That's fine, but we're just offering that as an ideal because the Holy Father is doing that as an ideal. He's not forcing it anyone, but he's leading by example. So we want to take that same example and use that here at the colloquium. Finally, after all the external solemnity, the uplifting sacred chant, the ceremonial precision, we must enter into the sacred mysteries not as spectators or as detached professional performers, which I know you don't, but as humble, weak, believing sinners who have been given the privilege to serve God with the gift of music, the gift we share with the angels. The colloquium has always had the sense of a retreat, and so we ask you to beg God to bless you spiritually during this time, not just musically, but spiritually. Offer up all your hard work, and you will work hard. Offer it up as a sacrifice, as a votive offering to the Lord, maybe for your own self, for your loved ones, for your parish. We are going to offer confessions every day in the room behind here. That door leads into a room back there. It's right before dinner from 6 to 6:15. But if you see a priest anywhere and you want to go to confession, don't hesitate to ask. The priests are willing to hear confessions. For those who are not Catholic, we welcome you to the colloquium. But as you know, the Church does not allow intercommunion. And so we would ask you at Mass to remain at your places and pray that one day we can be one so that we can all receive communion together. While in church, I ask you to please remember that our Lord is present in the tabernacle. In this church, he's not at the center. If you face the altar on the epistle side to the right, he's in the side altar there in the tabernacle. Just be careful about, you know, unnecessary talk and to show reverence. I find that in churches today, people forget that our Lord is present so often, and we want to make sure that we're setting an example, not only in music, but also in our decorum in church before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And then finally, clothing. I know people have traveled a long distance, and they may not have all types of different clothes, but we just suggest that you try to dress reverently for Mass, no crazy t-shirts or anything like that, and to wear long pant trousers and not shorts to Mass. Because again, we want to try to foster the sense of the sacred, so that this is a whole experience that involves everything. And when you do that, I really do believe you will see a great difference and will come away from this with an experience of our faith unlike no other experience. So I hope and pray that you will have a good week. Everything we do this week, we do for God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are not worthy of one speck of his love, and yet he graciously condescends to offer us forgiveness, salvation, constant grace, and the promise of eternal life. With the greatest humility and thanks, let us give him everything we can this week, and may God bless you in every way.